chapter number 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God, we'll read one verse of Scripture. I appreciate the songs this morning, the choir songs, appreciate the special songs about prayer, and just He's all I need this morning, amen, and thank the Lord for His presence this morning. 1 Timothy 3, and notice one verse of Scripture, verse number 16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the songs. Thank you for your people this morning. Lord, so good to be amongst the people of God, amongst the living this morning. We thank you most of all for your presence. Lord, how we need you this morning. Without you, we can do nothing. And God, we ask you this morning, if you would, to bless the reading of thy word. I pray that you would encourage every heart here this morning. Lord, the saved, I pray for the unsaved. God, that you would reach out and speak to their heart this morning. May they see themselves in need of a Savior. May they come, repent of their sins, believe the gospel this morning. We ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom, give us words and vocabulary that only you would have us to say. And we'll thank you for what you do, for we do love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach on this subject a few minutes on the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. You know, when you think about in the Word of God, there's several mysteries that are mentioned throughout the Bible. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 13, there is the mystery or the mysteries of the kingdom, the 13 parables of or the parables of Matthew chapter 13. There's the mysteries of the kingdom. Then over in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25, there's the mystery of Jewish blindness, how that the Jews could not see Christ for who he is. They were spiritually blinded. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, there is the mystery concerning the raising of believers. Amen. On that resurrection morning, verse 51, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And it is a mystery, but it is a mystery that one day is going to be fulfilled at the rapture. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, there is the mystery of the church. And in chapter 5, the mystery of the bride of Christ. There is the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 19. And then there is the mystery in Colossians 1 and verse 27, the mystery of Christ in the believer. Amen. As the Bible said in Colossians 3 and verse 1, that ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That in and of itself is a mystery. And then there is the mystery of God and of Christ in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible said in him, talking about Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So everything in who God is, his persona or his character and who he is, was poured in the personality of Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ said, if you've seen me, then you have seen the Father. Amen. And so there's the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ. There's the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Too, and I'd say that we're close to that. Amen. It won't be tight long till the rapture is going to take place. And the man of sin is going to be revealed. Now, we know we won't be here. Thank God. We'll be gone. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm waiting around. If you wait till then, you'll wait too long. Amen. But thank God we'll be gone. Amen. And then there is the mystery of the seven stars in Revelation 1 and verse number 20. And there's the mystery of Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 5. But in our text this morning, there is the mystery of godliness. And the Bible says here that without controversy, that word controversy means confessed, or it means by common consent. So in other words, in this day when Paul wrote this, he said, without controversy, what I'm about to lay out, these six things that I'm going to give you, and though it is a mystery, thank God it is without controversy. In other words, you could not deny it if you lived during the times of Christ and during the times of the Apostle Paul. And I want to say this morning that the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as real, who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. It's just as real in 2025 as it was in Paul's day. This morning, I want us to think about these
six things that is given here concerning the mystery of godliness, six distinctive truths here that he talks about. He talks about incarnation in verse number 16. He said, for God was manifested in the flesh. Amen. I'm glad that when Jesus came into this world, he was every bit as much man as what you and I was, but he was more than a man. Amen. He was God in the flesh. He is the God-man. He is the Son of God who became the Son of Man so that we, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. Amen. That's why Jesus could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen. In John chapter 1, in verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, talking about Christ, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the Bible said he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light to everyone that believeth. Amen. My friend, the Bible said he was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. I like this part. He said, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I want to say this morning that Jesus Christ is God, and He was God in the flesh while He was here. He's as much God, and God is as much Christ, and thank God for His incarnation. Amen. You see, if you don't believe Jesus, He is the Son of God, in God's perfect, sinless Son, then you can't go to heaven. He was a sinless sacrifice. When I think about Christ on the cross, Jesus, while He was here, He could not sin. For if Christ could have sinned then, that would mean that He could sin now. Listen, though He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet the Bible said He was without sin. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ was tempted. He can be touched with the very feeling of our infirmities this morning. I want to say why Jesus lived in this world. He walked among sinners. He lived among sinners. He preached to sinners. He fed sinners. He taught sinners. Listen, he healed sinners. He even saved sinners. And He died among sinners. But the greatest thing about our Lord is that He was not a sinner this morning. Amen. It's incarnation. God in the flesh. And then secondly, He talks about His vindication. The Bible said that He was justified in the Spirit. That word vindicate means, or justified, it means to vindicate. And so Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, but He was justified in the Spirit. You see, when the Spirit came, and the Spirit does not speak of Himself, amen, but He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not magnify the Spirit. We magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Christ spoke about the Father, amen. The Father spoke about the Son. The Spirit speaks about the Son. Amen. But my friend, this morning, the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm going to tell you, all things are by Him and through Him and for Him this morning, and without Him we're nothing. Amen. Jesus Christ is the all in all. He is the hope of glory. And my friend, He is the bright and the morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. Thank God He's the shepherd of our valley. David said He's my buckler and my shield and my strong and mighty tower. Thank God He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, and he's my shepherd this morning. Ezekiel said he's the wheel inside the wheel, and Daniel said he's a stone hewn out of a rock, and he's the fourth man in the fire. He's the great storyteller, Deuteronomy said, and Genesis said he's the promised seed. He's the sacrificial lamb. Jesus said he was the door. He's the way, the truth, the life. He just is. He's that which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the Almighty. Hallelujah. That's him this morning. I'm telling you, he's the Lamb of God, but he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah this morning. I'm telling you, he's the song of the church. Wherever you want to go in this Bible, Matthew said he's the king of the Jews. Mark said he's a servant of God. Luke said he's a son of man. John said he's the resurrection and the life. I'm telling you this morning, there's no one any better than Jesus. And the Bible vindicates him, and the Spirit vindicates him. I want to say this morning, I'm glad that I know Jesus this morning. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, and he's a Prince of Peace. Amen. I want to say this morning, he just is. I'm trying to move on, but to be honest with you, I don't want to. I mean, he is the greatest thing, that greatest person that this world has ever known this morning. I'm glad anywhere you look in this Bible, you're going to find Jesus. Amen. Anywhere you want to turn, he is our Redeemer. He is our Lord. He is our master. Thank God he is our leader. He's our mediator. He's our high priest. He is our go-between. He is everything I needed him to be, and so much more. I'm saying this morning, the Spirit speaks of Jesus. Amen. Justified in the Spirit. I'm talking about his vindication. He needs no defense this morning. He doesn't need my defense. He doesn't need your defense. I want to say this morning, the world can mock him and they can scoff him and they can make fun of him. But John said in Revelation 19 and verse 11, he said, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him," listen to it, "he was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he to judge and make war." John saw him on that horse, and he said his eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he's clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It was the Word of God in Genesis 1. It was the Word of God in John 1. And it's the Word of God in Revelation 19. Amen. And the Bible said the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And the Bible said he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he might smite the nations. And he'll rule them with a rod of iron. And the Bible said he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What is that name? It's King of Kings and it's Lord of Lords. He's the captain of the captains. He's the King of the Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King invisible, the King immortal. He's the King of the ages. He's just King this morning. And the Spirit vindicates him. His incarnation, his vindication, his observation. Notice the Bible said he was seen of angels. Angels. When you saw Jesus, if you hung around him long enough, you know what you might see? You might see angels. Because they announced his birth, didn't they? They sang glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. They announced his birth. They ministered to him in Matthew 4. After the temptation and the devil left him, the angels came and they ministered to him. They was with him there during the garden, his agony in the garden. They were there to announce the resurrection. When they said he is not here, but he is risen. They were there at the ascension as they looked up steadfastly toward the heaven. The angels spoke and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing gazing here into the heavens. I like this. For the same Jesus which you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. I'm saying he was seen of angels. These are things, the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ, though he was seen of angels, I want to say he was better than the angels. He was more than the angels. Hebrews said he was better, a better sacrifice, a better covenant, a better way, a better plan. I'm saying this morning Christ was seen of angels. He was made lower than the angels, but he was yet better than the angels. His observation. And then his proclamation. The Bible said he was preached unto the Gentiles. We should all shout about that this morning. There might be a Jew or two in here. Might be some folks that has a little bit of Jew in your blood. But most of us, I would dare say this morning from looking at you, we're Gentiles. But I'm glad that God didn't leave us out. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He said, so much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad that's in there. And also to the Greek, thank God. I'm glad we were not left out. The gospel went into all the world. I'm telling you, to everyone that believeth this morning, I may not be much by this world's standard, but thank God I'm a believer. Amen. I believe the Bible, don't you? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's a sinless Son of God. I believe he's my Savior. I believe he's my Lord. I believe he's soon coming. I believe he died on the cross. You believe he died on the cross? I believe he shed his blood. I don't believe he spilled it. That would have been an accident. But I believe he shed his blood. He shed his blood for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I believe if you want to get in, you can get in. I thank God I believe the gospel is for everyone that believeth this morning, and it's been proclaimed. It doesn't matter which side of the track you come from, red, yellow, black, or white, good or bad, wise or unwise, bond or free this morning. The gospel knows no boundaries. It knows no regions. And thank God it'll save anyone that'll trust him this morning. I believe that. Boy, it feels good to be a believer. Doubt won't send you to hell, but unbelief will. You say, what's the difference? I'm doubting my salvation. Well, you're just troubled, but doubt won't send you to hell. If doubt would send you to hell, then we'd all lost our salvation that's been saved. But you see, unbelief is a choice. Unbelief is when the gospel has been presented and preach. That crowd, when Jesus opened the book of Isaiah and announced his call to preach, they knew him from the time that he was born. And they was faced with the same opportunity, but they chose not to believe what they heard. You see, unbelief is a choice. You either choose to believe or you choose not to believe. I'm going to tell you, thank God one day the gospel came to my doorstep. I heard the gospel as a little boy. I didn't know John 3:16, but to the best of my ability, you know what I did? I chose to believe the Bible. I chose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I chose to believe he was my Savior. I chose to believe that I'd go to hell if I didn't put my faith and trust in him. I'm going to tell you that's the truth this morning, because it's what the Bible says. If you're here lost this morning, I want to tell you, if you'll come, the gospel has been proclaimed. If you know you're a sinner, then Romans 10 and verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession it's made unto salvation this morning. Amen. Say, Brother Gravely, I don't want to go to hell. Well, good news. You don't have to. What I got to do? Come and believe the gospel. It's been preached to us. You know, we ought to be beside ourselves this morning, because 2/3 of this world has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Most of us could quote John 3:16, but we ought to shout every time we hear it quoted and every time we read it. For those who never heard it the first time, We ought to count ourselves triple blessed, 100th blessed, 1,000th blessed to hear the gospel one more time. You see, the gospel isn't just good news for the day you get saved, but it's good news every day. I'm telling you to hear the gospel preached. I believe the gospel. I'm saved. I don't need to get saved again. You can't get saved again. I'll tell you one thing. That's how I know I'm saved, is when I hear a preacher get up and preach the gospel. Oh, there's something on the inside connects. Amen. Before I got saved, Brother Laddie, when I heard the gospel, it'd make me shudder. It'd make me question. I didn't want to hear the gospel. I'll tell you, after you get saved, tell me the old story one more time. Tell me the Romans Road one more time. Take me down the John's Road one more time. Lead me to Calvary one more time. You say, how do you know you're saved? There's a desire. There's a hunger. There's a thrill to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, if you done heard it, why do you want to keep on hearing? I'll tell you why. Because I believe it. And because it's in me this morning. If you're saved, you love the gospel. If you're lost, you could care less. But I tell you, you get born again. I'm telling you, the world can have their honky-tonks. They can have their rock concerts. I don't even want the music to sound like what they... Isn't that right? I get in a church service somewhere and it sounds like it came out of Nashville, or it sounds like it came out of some rock concert. Not interested, friend. Amen. So what do you do? Just read my Bible. I reckon that's the only thing I know to do till they get done. Amen. But I'll tell you, when you sing one of them old hymns, amen, that talks about the gospel and the melody sounds like heaven. It doesn't sound like this world. Amen. Our music is supposed to be different from this, the world's music. Can I get an amen right there? We're not supposed to beat it up and beef it up and make it sound. We're not supposed, hey, the gospel don't rock and roll. Amen. Thank God it is a sure foundation. The Bible said never. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. I tell you what the music's supposed to sound like. It's supposed to sound like heaven. Amen. Because that's where the gospel will take you and I. It'll take us to heaven, friend. Amen. I want to say tonight, this morning, there is the proclamation. And then there's the acceptation. The Bible said he was believed on in the world. Those who hear the gospel receive it and believe it. John chapter 1 again. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. I'm glad the verse don't end there. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You know, if you're lost this morning, and you know you're a sinner, and you know you deserve to go to hell, and you know this morning that if you died, you would go to hell, all you'd have to do is get out of that seat. Come down here and say, I want to be saved. And I want to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. To as many as received him. You know, you either receive or you reject someone. My friend, salvation is just that simple. If a child was to come down here this morning and understood that they were lost and understood they could not save themselves, and understood that Jesus died for their sins and that they must be saved, if they receive the gospel, if they say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior, if they'll ask him, he'll come into their heart and he'll save them. You know, when I got saved, I didn't say, Lord, come into my heart and save me. I didn't say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. In fact, I didn't even call on Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I said, God, please don't send me to hell. Please don't send me to hell. You said, well, Brother Gravely, how do you know you got saved? Oh, I know I got saved for several reasons. But one reason I know I got saved is because I came not to my Sunday school teacher, but when I walked that little storefront building, on that hot July summer morning, five rows back, under deep conviction, I knew I couldn't save myself. I knew I was going to go to hell if I didn't get saved. And when the service ended, I was too shy. But when the service was ended, my Sunday school teacher was sitting up here on the front row. I went straight to him. I said, I need to talk to you. And I just started walking to the back of that building, and I saw him out of the corner of my eye as I was walking off. I was just leaving him. But as I was walking off, I saw him out of the corner of my eye. He reached down and picked up his Bible. He knew what I needed. And I went back in that little nursery in that storefront building, and he shut the door. I'll never forget it. There's three kitchen chairs there, three old 70 kitchen chairs, orange and green with, you know, the flower power age. You know, in the 70s, I was born in 75, the cars were ugly, the countertops were ugly. Look, y'all know that's true. The clothing, everybody smoked pot in the 60s, so they didn't know how to do nothing in the, I don't know, I'm just saying that. I can still see them kitchen chairs. He shut that door and he said, Ricky, what do you need? And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to hell. And he said this to me. He said, I just got down on my knees and I got a hold of the back of that kitchen chair. And I'll never forget this. He said, I can't ask the Lord to save you, but you can. And I said, God, don't send me to hell. Said that one time. God, don't send me to hell. Said it two times. God, I just grabbed that little chair and said, don't send me to hell. Said it a third time. And on that third time, a still small voice said, you don't have to say that no more. He said, what happened? I got up. If you'd asked me if I got justified, I wouldn't have known what you was talking about. If you'd have said, do you understand what propitiation, I wouldn't have known what that meant. But he looked at me and he said, what just happened to you? I said, I believe he saved me. And somewhere between getting that Sunday school teacher into that kitchen chair and getting up and saying, I believe he saved me. He saved me. You say, you know the exact second? No, it's not for me to keep that record. All I did was come. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I'm going to tell you, I sure needed some rest that morning. Because I hadn't had no rest in quite a few nights. But I'll tell you, I went home that night and I laid my head down and I closed my eyes and I went to sleep, hallelujah, knowing that I was saved by the grace of God. I couldn't have told you all this stuff we know now. All I know is I had peace like a river running down in the recesses of my soul. I'm telling you this morning, when he moves in, a lot of things will move out and he'll make a difference in your life. Amen. Exception, acceptation. Then finally, glorification. The Bible said he was received up into glory. I'm glad I can stand here before you this morning and say, not only do I know who Jesus is, but I know where Jesus is. You say, where's he at? He's in two places. He's in my heart through the Spirit, but he's at the right hand of the Father. He was received up into glory. Acts 1. He's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for you, for us. I don't know who's prayed for you this morning. You don't know who all's prayed for me. But I know one who's prayed for all of us this morning. And he sits at the right hand. And you say, how many times do you think he's prayed for us? I don't know. But I know the Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's prayed for me and he's prayed for you more than I've prayed for you. And he's prayed for me more than you've prayed for me. He ever lived. Glorification. He sat down. Hebrews 2:9. The Bible said that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. Hey, one of these days, we're going to go to heaven, friend. And when we go to heaven, listen, it's not going to be about the pearly gates. And I want to see those pearly gates of pearl. It's not going to be about the street of gold. And I want to walk on a street of gold, but it's not going to be about that walls of jasper and the 12 foundation of stones. It's not going to be about the river of life. It's not going to be about the trees that are beside that river. Man, I want to see all of that. Heaven's not even going to be about our loved ones, and I can't wait. The Bible said we'll be known as we are known on the other side. But when Stephen looked steadfastly up toward the heavens, do you know what happened while he was still here on earth? Stephen had the ability while on this earth earth as he's about to leave, to look through that portal, and he didn't see gates of pearl, and he didn't see a street of gold, and he didn't see angels, and he didn't see walls of jasper. You know what he saw? I'll tell you something better than what he saw. First, he saw the glory of God, but then the Bible said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I'm telling you, when it comes time to leave, it's not what we're going to see, it's who we're going to see. We're going to see him. Hallelujah. I was reading that the other day, Brother Laddie, and somebody may correct me, and I stand to be corrected. But I was reading that last week, and I said, what about that? I never saw that. Maybe you've seen it time and time again, but I never saw that. But when Stephen is getting ready to die, his spirit's still with his body. He's very much alive because he's going to pray for himself and he's going to pray for those who are stoning him. But the Bible said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, I like that. He looked steadfastly into heaven. What's he going to see? He's not seeing the entrance. He's not seeing the patriarchs. He's not seeing Gabriel. He's not seeing Michael. But he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. I thought about this, Brother Brian. I thought about your mother, and I thought about others that have passed on. I thought about, there's always that element in our mind that when someone is still here with us, but that we know that it's just a matter of moments, they're fixing to leave, and they can't, sometimes they can't communicate with us, and their hearing's the only thing that's left, and sometimes we're standing on this side of the veil wondering what's happening to them at that very moment as they're getting ready to leave. I'll tell you the closest thing in the Bible that we have is Stephen, and that's pretty close. Amen. Stephen's there, and the veil opens up, and Stephen, he sees through that portal. He sees past the first heaven. He sees past the second heaven. Hey, guess what he sees? When he sees the third heaven, he sees Jesus. Amen. You know what I believe according to the Bible, chapter and verse, when it comes time to leave, heaven won't be about what we see. Heaven's going to be about who we see. And I'm going to tell you something. What would make me want to leave this body quicker than anything is to see the one who bled and died for my sins. I've said it before. I'll close with this thought as Miss Allen comes. When my father-in-law was passing away, those brain tumors had just shut down all of his motor skills. He couldn't even, his eyelids barely opened. Couldn't move his arms, couldn't move anything. You could just barely see his eyelids open just a little bit. But when it came time to make the crossing, he opened his eyes real big. And he kept looking up. He was looking into the ceiling real big. And my wife said to him, she said, Daddy, she said, you see something, don't you? He never even moved. He just kept looking, kind of like Stephen, steadfastly into heaven. You see something, don't you, Daddy? She said, Daddy, go ahead. It'll be okay. Mom's going to be okay. Sister's going to be okay. It'll be all right. He just kept looking. She said, it'll be all right. She leaned in his ear. You go ahead and go. It'll be okay. You know what he did? He looked for just a second. He looked over at his wife, over 50 years of marriage. He looked at her. Then he looked at his daughter. Then he looked at his other daughter. Then he looked back up, and he was gone. I'm going to tell you, songwriter had it right. Jesus will outshine them all. I'm telling you, I'm anticipating the Lord coming. Wouldn't it be good if the sky rolled back right now? So, preacher, it's 12 o'clock. I don't care what time it is. It's hot. I know it is hot in this building right now. But I promise you, I'm a lot hotter than you are. But I don't care how hot it is right now. I tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful if the trumpet sound, Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Your mother, Brother Barnes, Charles Roach. We ain't got to worry about them. And we don't even have to be ignorant about them. Wonder what they're doing. Oh, I tell you what they're doing. They're not floating around on a cloud somewhere. You say, what are they doing? Oh, they're in the presence of one. And once you get in his presence, you never want to get out. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. We sorrow. When my sister passed, it was sorrow. I could see it in my mother's face. Oh, the grave is so cruel. She looked over at my mother and smiled and took her last breath and left this world. I heard my mother called me. I could hear that machine going off, you know, in the background. And I heard that nurse say, we're losing her. And my mother said, son, we're losing her. I said, tell her to go be with Jesus. And we'll see her on the other side. She said, Jennifer, you go be with the Lord. And 43 years, she took care of her like a little baby. Fed her every meal she ever had. Gave her medicine every day. Bathed her, brushed her hair. I don't think she ever had a tangle in her hair growing up, Brother Laddie. My mother would sit there with a brush. She used to whip me with that brush, but she would. I'm telling you, that thing, I can still see it. It was pink, and it was about this big. And I'm telling you, when she got done with me, my rear end was about as, shouldn't have said that, forgive me. My backside was about as pink as that brush. But I remember that she brushed every tangle. 43 years she brushed them out of her hair. My mom wasn't even saved when my brother died. She was sitting there watching A March of Dimes. She said, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, would you give me a baby? And she said, I don't care if there's something wrong with that baby. I'll love that baby. I'm glad I wasn't born next. My sister was born. She took care of her like a baby. And when she died, she looked over at her and smiled. And she left this world. They're leaving. But we're all leaving. And wouldn't it be good if we all pulled out today? I'm telling you, I don't know a better place to go to heaven from than Rossville, Georgia. And I don't know a better crowd to go to heaven with than the crowd I'm looking at right now. I'll tell you, if I was lost, I'd get saved this morning. If I didn't have peace, I'd come right now. Right now, I'd just get out of my seat and come say, I won't be saved this morning. And I want to tell you, child of God, you keep being faithful. You keep serving God. Because one glimpse of his face, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's stand this morning. If you need to come, our heads are about, eyes are closed.